Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. This is Shisada Akona Kamara. I'm joined by Piela Yin, and you are listening to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight. Let's go ahead and get ourselves centered, and we will clear our energy fields. Close your eyes. Take a nice deep breath and call yourself forward. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. And now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one shaft to surround each of us, and I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on beloved Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. Now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you, to humanity. Piela Yin and I place ourselves in service to all of you listening. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Very good. Take a nice deep breath. Kind of come back to me. All right. PLN informed me earlier that we pretty much covered everything from last week. I always wonder if we have things that are hanging out there. So I have something very specific to speak to you about tonight. I have no idea how long it'll take, so I don't even have notes for this one. But it's very interesting because I always know what to, I always know what needs to be spoken based on the things that my students are bringing to me and what I'm seeing happening kind of in the world. But most often it's what my students bring. Now remember, your life is your spiritual path, right? And we use the experiences of your life to go in to see, you know, where the identification is occurring, the beliefs that are being held so tightly, the judgments that are in place that are there to keep the belief in place, and then the justifiers that we use to make our judgments seem okay to us. So, and of course, underneath all of it are the unmet needs, and that's what drives the whole wagon, so to speak. And it never fails that, you know, I have students who will bring something to me that's something they experienced in their personal life. And most often what they bring to me, I actually see in more than one person. And it'll all be in a very close time frame. So within the course of a week, let's say I have three different students who bring me like the same story, except different people involved and, you know, different scenarios. But the story's the same, right? So when these things come up, it's like the red flag to me that goes, oh, it's time for this. You know, the collective is moving this now, because I look at my students as the collective, you know, which, of course, all of you are a part of. And so, you know, more advanced students may experience collective issues kind of before the majority of people on the planet, but it's usually pretty tight. So anyway, this one came up really recently, and I thought it was perfect because, of course, it comes back to our choices, which I'm beginning to sound like a broken record on, but I really don't care because this is like so what needs to be spoken right now. Okay. And this is funny because we just said before the show, there is no escaping, you know, there's no escaping your choices. You need to be very, very aware of that, that the choices you make today, okay, are you reliving your past? And then you make the choice today that's literally going to create the future you are walking into. And remember, in this paradigm here, we do live in linear time, which is created by the mind. So our experience of it feels very real here. So we can look back and say, this is who I was 6 months ago. And we can say, this is what I'm doing now. And then we can project out and say, well, in 6 months from now, I should be here based on what I'm doing today, right? Well, your choices are part and parcel of that whole process. So the choice that you are presented with today is the outcome of the choices you made yesterday, figuratively speaking. And then that choice that you do make today that was based on past choices is going to determine the choices you will have to make in the future. Understand? Yeah? It's kind of it just keeps going, doesn't it? It's like each choice kind of bumps up to the next thing, and it just keeps bumping up to the next notch. So here we go for people who have some spiritual understandings in place. And those of you listening to this show certainly are among those people. If you're a student of mine, you absolutely are among those people, and listen carefully. I doubt there's anyone listening who's never listened to any kind of spiritual work at all. So let's make the assumption you all do have these basic understandings. Your challenge at this time is not only to see what is occurring as far as identification, okay? It is key to your spiritual evolution that you discover and unearth the roles that you take on and that you identify with, whether it be the role of mother or the role of good worker or the role of teacher or student or friend, on and on and on. All of those roles that we identify with have you trapped in certain belief systems, okay? And the entrapment that you feel there is very real to you. And it's part of the collective entrapment. So if you are, we'll go back to mother, if you are a mother and identify strongly with being a mother, you are tapped into the collective of mothers on the planet and all of the beliefs that are held about being a mother that each one of those individuals have added to the collective energetic of what mother is. And they're polarized. So don't think for a second that they're not. Because mother to one woman could be blessing. Mother to another woman could be curse, right? Don't laugh. She's laughing. I think you need to explain that to our audience.
Really?
Yes, really. Why is that so funny?
Why am I laughing? Okay, honestly, I'm not.
Well, shame on you if you would give us anything other than honesty.
Well, you know, all right, so I'm young, had my kids young. Honestly, wasn't planning on having kids, both of them, oopsies. I was never that type of mother that was so like, I have to spend time with my kids. I have to do this with my kids. You know, I would sometimes wish there was a remote with an off button. I mean, I love them, but, you know, I was never that type of mom that was really super attached to their kids.
Right, right. But even within witnessing that you don't have the attachment to your kids, you're very attached to what your sense of mother is. And the attachment to the sense of what mother is what leads you to experience suffering very much in your case. Now, for some women, their experience of what mother is leads them to, you know, immense joy. And that's the space they sit in. Now, if their conditioning is that, you know, mother should be Martha Stewart, and they are given the ability to be Martha Stewart in the sense that they can stay home with their kids and they can craft with them and they, you know, do all of these things. And that is truly what gives them joy. I'm not even going to tell them what you're doing over here. It's a good thing they can't see you. If you're that person, right, you could be in this beautiful state of bliss with motherhood. However, sitting in the space that you are sitting in brought you, maybe still does to a certain extent, but brought you suffering, because the concept is still very strong that motherhood should be what? It should be about sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And completely giving yourself over to your children. I mean, giving up kind of your own identity for the sake of being mother.
Yeah. Mine was the single mother role.
Right. That was so, me. Oh yeah. So that comes packed with suffering.
Oh yeah.
Packed with martyrdom. Right. Yeah. And so within it, you almost can't not see your kids as, you know, your perpetrators. You are victim to your children. Right. And then, of course, they become victim to you because you function from that spot. And because you feel victimized, of course, now you're going to victimize them. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. So that's a really good example using mother to show you that it is very polarized. So all the concepts across the whole planet, all the different cultures, like everything that people believe as far as what mother is added to that collective. And there are kind of, you know, sub-collectives within the collective. So motherhood, as seen in the United States, may hold a certain resonance that's somewhat different than motherhood as seen in Nigeria, right? Because of how our cultures differ and what we hold to be true, right? Let's say in this country, I'm trying to, like, something very extreme. In this country, let's say a mother who punishes her child using any kind of corporal violence, like slapping or spanking, there's a huge amount of guilt that sits there, right? Whereas maybe in another culture, it's so widely accepted and seen as a positive thing that doesn't exist for them. So see the way you function and then the things that are going to be your identifiers and your beliefs will determine kind of how you're viewing your role as that. And then of course, in turn, it creates the collective energetic that sits there for whatever it is. And think too, that even within that collective of mother, there is the sub-collective of Black mother. There's a sub-collective of Caucasian mother, Asian mother, right? Because all of those are different based on that kind of, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of your skin color determines how you view things as well, because that has its own collective. So you see they're all intertwined, right? Black person is intertwined with Black mother and definitely intertwined with Black single mother. See, all of them, it's like when you look at the matrix, it's kind of like you can see it as... you can absolutely equate it to the neural net in the brain. In the brain, if they look at what fires when you have an identification occurring, it fires in multiple places in the brain, not just one location, because they're all connected. The matrices are all connected, okay? So, you know, this piece is connected to, like, my sense of love is also connected to my sense of guilt, you know, or my sense of remorse, or, like, whatever it is. And they all, so when one thing fires, they all fire together. And that's what you're looking at in the greater capacity for the collective of the planet, is that this is what's going on, okay? All the identifiers you have, they don't make up neat little packages where they're all separate. They're all intertwined. And that's part of the challenge of unwinding that whole, you know, yarn ball, is that getting in there, you know, you may think you have a piece of it, but you neglected to see where it connects off to something else, right? And then when you lose that piece, you find it still keeps coming back because you have to unearth that piece, all right? Okay, so there's no escaping. There's no escaping the fact that you are attached to the collective, okay? So until this physical body is done here and it releases itself back to the earth, you are still connected to the collective, all right? Everyone is, whether you have reached enlightenment or not, you are connected to that collective. Doesn't mean you function from that level, but you are connected to it. So you will continue to feel the energies there that come off of the polarized collective, okay? And this is important to keep in mind. I was working with a student this week that it kind of came up that the concept does sit there for students, that at some point all of it just stops, right? And for the illumined individual who sees just the energy, it does stop, right? But it doesn't mean that for quite some time there isn't this voice that'll still come in, and one witnesses the voice who says, ooh, grab that one, you know, grab that. Ooh, they just wronged you. Do something about that, right? Don't be a pushover. Don't, you know, don't do this, don't do that. They're trying to take advantage of you, or whatever it is. Because those will continue to run. And this is the exact thing that I really want to make a point of tonight, is that here is the biggest part where some of the greatest achievement can be made, is right here. It's one thing to have an understanding of the beliefs that have held your personality kind of hostage, right? As you identifying with that personality, with that name, with that physical form. All right, it's one thing to see it, but seeing it alone does not dissolve it. This is really important, because people who get involved in processing, they get to see it pretty quickly, right? And then over the course of time, they'll see the whole thing. Once you've seen the whole imprint and you've really seen it, it's not necessary to go in and process anymore. It's done. It's been seen, right? So what is the difference between the person who gets stuck there and then the person who continues to move in their levels of mastery into deeper and deeper levels of illumination? Well, the difference is the choices that they make. Okay? So we're all familiar with the, you know, talking your talk, walking your walk, walking your talk, right? Walking your talk is exactly what the spiritual seeker has to do. There is no leaving this paradigm if you cannot walk your talk. Now remember, hypocrisy plays a huge role in what's going on here. Because everybody can you know, see where the other person falls short, but they can't see it in themselves. And once it's seen in yourself, now what? Ooh, now it gets hard. It's hard enough to see it, because that's challenging. And it is challenging, because we don't want to see ourselves in a less than pleasant light. But for the courageous who step up and say, okay, I'll take it on. I'll see myself as, you know, this wretchedly angry, hateful person. And we do that. Well, that's great. It takes a huge amount of courage to do that. But guess what? It takes even more courage to take the next step. the next step is even bigger. And the next step is to now walk from that understanding. And you're walking from the understanding when everything in the world seems to be clawing at you to get you to function and to react the way you always have before. This is a really, really big deal. So remember, just seeing what triggers you. You can say, you know, say you are someone who gets road rage and you recognize one day, you have a lot of students who the observer is quite strong, so they recognize things very quickly. And so something comes and they get triggered. So let's just say, for example, they're driving down the street and someone blows a stop sign and they have to hit their brakes because they would have had an accident if they hadn't been paying attention. And in that moment, you know, the expletives start flying and hand gestures and the whole bit. And then they spend the next 10 minutes, you know, complaining to themselves and feeling victimized about the fact that someone almost just hit them. They could be sitting in a space of gratitude. You know, thank you in the moment for having the awareness to hit the brakes, right? But instead, it's all about, oh, poor me. I shouldn't have had to do that. That idiot should have paid attention and they blew the thing and they shouldn't, people like that shouldn't be able to drive and on and on and on, right? Now, for someone who catches it in the moment where they hit the brakes and the person blows by, you know, when you have a strong observer, as soon as that judgment starts coming in, you idiot, right? The observer will catch it and go, oh, pay attention, right? Because you're talking to yourself, right? Pay attention. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. In that moment, because that observer is strong enough to catch it, you have a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. There is the path that will lead you to binding karma. And there is the path that will walk away from binding karma. And it really is as simple as that. It's a very simple thing. Now, no one says it's easy, but it's a very simple thing. In the moment when judgment comes and the observer can witness the judgment, then from that place of the observer who's objective, it can be seen clearly. And in that moment, it can be retracted. Right? And then we can move on from a different place. Now recognize, we'll go back to the science behind it, recognize that in that moment of changing directions, right, the way that you always reacted to a new way of functioning where you can see clearly and you recognize the futility of sitting in that space of victim and the futility of acting as the, you know, the judge and the jury, right? Against another individual when you have no way of knowing what was going on with that individual that caused them to do what they did. For all you know, their brakes gave out, right? Who knows? You don't know. And so when you redirect and maybe take that moment and go, whew, you know, like initially it was the shock. And of course, you know, right then you kind of want to be in attack mode. It's that fight or flight thing. And most people go into fight. But in that moment, you see it and you go like, whew, like, thank you. You know, thank you. Wow, like I could have just been in an accident. What an act of grace that I wasn't. You just completely redirected all of the firing in your brain. Completely redirected it. So the brain wants, you know, it's preparing its cocktail, right, that it's going to shoot through your body. And then, of course, when you really attach to it, it all docks in. And in that moment, when you catch it quickly, you have the opportunity of stopping it. Now, it doesn't mean the energy won't still run. If the brain has already kind of composed the cocktail and sent it out on its way, then the energy is there. And this is something that one of my students looked at very closely this week, because this student had something come up on a telephone call where it was a trigger. And then the trigger led to the energy that ran in the body, right? So the student, even though the student observed what was going on, walked away feeling, you know, I guess you could say like a failure. Like, well, if I'd really, this is something I've looked at before, but if I'd really seen it, then that energy wouldn't have come. Right. And I had to be very clear that that's not true. the energy will still come. Why? Because you have an addiction that you are in the process of breaking. And remember, the brain and this body is addicted to the chemicals that are coming out through the identification process. If you're an angry person, you have to continue being angry because the body is addicted to the chemicals that flush through it when you're angry, right? It makes you less able to experience the chemicals for love because your receptor sites aren't built for it anymore. Your receptor sites are only built for anger, right? And there will be all kinds of, on the surface of the cells, there'll be all kinds of receptor sites for anger, right? Rage and all kinds of these negative things, and very, very few receptor sites that can take in the chemicals that flush through when love is present. Because it's an addiction. And as the addiction grows, this is what happens in the physical body. You don't change that overnight. And like I said to you a few minutes ago, just seeing it isn't enough to dissolve it. If you just witness it, right? If someone blows through a stop sign and you almost hit them and the observer witnesses it as soon as you go, you know, oh, you jerk, blah, blah. And the observer goes, whoa, look at that judgment. And you still do it and keep doing it because it feels good. Because let's face it, it always feels good, doesn't it? You keep doing it, there's nothing that's going to dissolve out there. You're still reinforcing it. It doesn't matter that observer sits back there and can see what's actually happening. There's nothing there that's dissolving it because your actions are still dictating what's happening in the body, aren't they? And that's the big challenge. The challenge is that when the impulse comes to react, the challenge is to stop. And not to react, but to choose. Understand this. Most people are not choosing what they're doing. And people find that very hard. Well, I do. I have free will. Well, yeah, you have free will when you can be objective. There's no free will when reactive mind is triggered. In that moment, you're not choosing to yell or not yell. It's happening automatically, completely outside of your will. That is what reactive mind is. Okay? That's what you've been patterned to do. You're innocent in that. It's not your fault that because of your set of circumstances growing up, you were patterned the way you were patterned. It's not your fault. None of it is. Right? But it is your job. Once you become aware that this is what's going on, now it is your job to go in and do what needs to be done to stop the reaction and to move to a place that's objective where you can choose and you can take right action. You know, right action comes from the Christ itself. Reaction comes from the ego. So one thing that happened with that particular student I was talking about with a phone call, and another student that I have who experienced some stuff with friends this week, both of them ended up sitting in the place where they were feeling like failures. Gosh, I've been doing this work, and why can't I see that? And it still came, and it's like the worst thing you can do is to judge yourself. Stop, because the first thing that you need to recognize is it's not you that you're judging. You aren't the one who were triggered. You aren't the one who got sucked into the karma drama of the friends. That was just the personality that you have always identified as you. And was it going to happen? Well, sure, it's what it's used to. We don't call it patterning for nothing, right? We don't call it programmed consciousness for nothing. A program's program, and it's going to run the program, right? And even when there's a piece within the program that starts waking up to the program, it's still going to try to run it. Don't be naive and think that it just stops, because it doesn't. You know, this is where the masters are watching you. They're going, okay, you've got the understanding now. Now, what are you going to do with it? You know, young master in training. Young Padawan. Master in remembering is what I probably should say. You're all masters anyway. You've just forgotten. So in this is so key, okay? We can see a trigger. The trigger itself being seen doesn't dissolve the trigger. And this is tricky because that's where people, when they recognize that stuff, now they turn that into something that they'll use to actually, you know, end up justifying their lack of right action. Because they can say, oh, I see that. I know I'm this. Well, you're not any of it, first off. And it's really important that you watch your language. I have one student whom I love dearly, and I'm always correcting him on how he speaks forward the stuff where he will say, I this, I that. And I'm like, you know, who experienced that? You know, and then it's always stop for a second and then the little chuckle. Like, oh, here we go again. Well, yeah, because I have to. Because it's reinforcing it every time you say it. Oh, look, I just identified with, you know, who identified with that? Oh, I'm such an idiot. I can never seem to, you know, every time it happens, I still fall for the same thing. Who falls for it? You know, and of course, and all my students, like, I know. Who knows? It becomes this circular joke, you know, where they're trapped in it. You can't talk without referring to yourself as that identification. And so I'll just point it out to you over and over and over and over. And at some point, there's this stopping point where the mind like hits a wall with it. And it's like, there's like nothing to say. No, there really isn't. You transcend any sense of, you know, being male, female, white, black, yellow, red, human, non-human, you know. One of my students this week was looking at energy and recognizing that, of course, the energy of the body is like the hardest thing to shake as far as identification goes, and especially when it comes up to the head. And I'm kind of laughing, going, well, you think you have a head? You think you really have a head? And there are probably a few of you sitting out there right now kind of scratching that head that you think is yours. I don't have a head. No, you don't, dear hearts. No head. Remember, this entire world you're living in is a projection of your consciousness. It's just energy. It's energy that's been condensed into something that looks like solid matter to you. Right? So do you have a head? No, it's just energy. Right? You know, and it may seem like a very simple thing to say, and it may seem a little ridiculous too, but it's important for me to say these things because you need to hear them. Because there's very, very profound truth there. Right? And if all I ever do is focus on processing work, well, you'll be trapped here forever. Right? You really will. Because processing in and of itself will just trap you. Remember, the mind is like layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. And we have to work our way through it. And we use processing work to get in deep. It does beautiful, beautiful stuff. But it's not the end goal, and it's not an end in and of itself, right? It's just something that allows us to move then to the next level. And this is what I'm talking to you about tonight. This is the next level. Whether you are an advanced student or the first time ever listening to something tonight, the message is the same. The message is your choices have an enormous impact on your evolution. And it's not just the choices that you think stem around spirituality. You are spirit in form. Therefore, everything in your world is spiritual. It's every choice that's made. How many of you have the experience of being kind of in a kind of a quiet place and then getting an impulse to do something? Maybe it's to get up and, you know, walk outside, whatever it is. And you don't really know where it comes from. It just kind of comes, right? And then how many of you in that moment when you receive the impulse then witness a voice that goes, well, why would I want to do that? No, it's too hot out. I don't want to go out there. You have an opportunity in that to witness something really amazing. That impulse is the voice of the divine. You aren't the doer. But mind comes in and identifies with the impulse and then takes a stand. It has to polarize it. It has to take a stand one way or the other. And sometimes it takes the stand in, you know, and it goes along with the impulse. Most often it doesn't. And I've seen that one particular student of mine, but certainly with everyone and even my own work, I've seen that over and over and over again. How many times did a beautiful, just an impulse to do something that did, it doesn't have to make sense. Who does it need to make sense to? Right? The only one that it would make sense or not make sense to is who? The ego, which is a non-who to begin with. If that's even a word, which of course it isn't, but you get the picture. So in that moment, there's an opportunity to just move with spirit. Who needs to know why you're being kind of called to walk outside? There's no way to know why. You don't need to know why. And you walk outside and nothing spectacular happens, right? It's like, and then of course, here comes the questioner again. Why did I have to go outside then? Nothing happened. This is a bunch of garbage following my intuition. Right? And there's great faith that has to walk with you in this, because so much of it will not make a bit of sense to the ego. Of course, the ego wants to be, you know, it wants everything in a pretty little package, you know. It loves mathematics. Like I want it to make sense. Everything has to make sense to me. And I'm going to make sense my way to enlightenment. And it's so the opposite. Because what you discover in your walk is that more and more often, more and more of it makes less and less sense from the space of the mind. Why did I walk over and pick up the telephone? Good question. But isn't it beautiful that the person that I picked up the telephone to call happened to be picking up the phone to call me at the same time? And you've all had that experience, I'm sure. You call someone, they say, oh, I was just thinking about you. Well, of course, there's only one. You're all connected. Yeah. And in that moment, the impulse is there for both. And so they connect. Or, and who knows what beautiful thing comes out of the connection, right? But it was meant to be, or it wouldn't have happened. But in that moment, when the impulse says, call so-and-so, and then the ego steps in and goes, no, I don't think so. That dude owes me $20. If I call him, we're just going to get in an argument. Or I'm not calling him until he pays me. I'm like, I'm not going to be his friend until he does what he's supposed to do, right? And then that voice is the thing that stops the flow of the universe that is in complete support of you and your divine will and your divine dreams The universe is here to support you, not to challenge you. And it's only the identification with the ego and feeling as though we are the doers, that we are the ones, you know, in charge of our destiny. That's the thing that stops all of it in its tracks. Because the universe goes, okay, you know, bow back off. You don't need my help. I get it. Because that's what's happening. The ego says, no, I'll do it on my own. I'm just fine, thank you. And what do we know about universal law? Universal law says, here, you have free will. And if that's your free will, so be it. And so any, you know, guardian angel or master that works with you, right, any of it at that point has to back off. Okay. Well, we could have given you that, you know. We could have given you that little piece, but that's okay. You know, this is what you're choosing for yourself. And this is the part that, you know, people can believe it only to a certain point, because at a certain point it becomes personal and then they refuse to believe it. So when people are experiencing really, really difficult things in their lives and you tell them that they called it forward, and they're only experiencing it because they chose to experience it. And on one level, they wanted to experience it. That's where they draw the line. And that's where you lose people, because they'll be like, oh, you have no idea. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And here I'm walking it. Yeah, I know you're walking it. You chose it for yourself. But what you have to understand is that the you that chose it for itself isn't you. It never was you. The ego chose it for itself because it likes to be a victim. It enjoys being a victim. It's a very twisted, sick kind of a mentality that the ego has. It really is. It's ridiculous. but that's the reality of it. You know, would any of us choose to battle cancer? Would any of us choose to be in horrible accidents that leave us maimed? Would any of us choose to give birth to children who are mentally or physically challenged? Well, of course not. But that's exactly what's happening. And the reason it's happening is because your choices are not in support of the higher you. Your choices are in support of the lower mind and of your identification with who you are, what your story is, what you're all about. I'm this way because you made me this way. Is that true? Well, yeah, it's true, but it's not, because you're not that. You transcend that. And until you can get in the space where you can be objective about what's going on in your own world, and then take the opportunity to make choices from that objective place, until you move there, nothing will change. And in fact, you're going to see more than nothing changing. You're going to see things getting worse. Because whether or not you believe in ascension, it's happening. It is in full swing. And it is affecting everyone on this planet and everyone attached to the planet. So all the beings in the astral realm are being affected, right? All the beings in the mental and the causal, anyone who hasn't transcended the four lower bodies is affected by the energetics going on. Nobody is excluded. You aren't excluded because you don't believe in it. Right? And everything is ramping up. It's all coming to the surface. You know, of course, we've been talking about this for years, but you see it so clearly now. I mean, you really have to be half blind to not see things anymore or have a serious denial problem. So your choices are so key. Are you making your choices in the moment because it's in the highest good of all concerned? Or are you making your choices because you want to support your story? Because you want to lash out at another person. And within the lashing out, you allow yourself to play victim. Because you want to blame someone outside of yourself for the misery and the suffering that you're experiencing right now. And one of my students had an experience with just being in kind of a social drama, which is what I like to call it, being with a group of people that, you know, kind of one thing happened and then you have a whole group of people that end up at odds with each other. You know, they're kind of all friends, but yet now they've kind of chosen sides and so-and-so didn't invite us and this didn't happen and, you know, blah, blah, right? And what I said to this student was, you know, you're responsible for the company you keep. And that was a big trigger for this person. And of course I expected it would be, because think about that. You're responsible for the company you keep. And it's true. Because the company you keep, everybody's energy, right? So those that you spend time with are either, they're either uplifting to your energy fields, they function in kind of a neutral place, meeting you where you're at, or they're actually taking away. They're detrimental to your energy fields. And you're responsible for that. Why would you choose to be around people that are going to drain your energy? If you don't want it for yourself, because it allows you to play the victim. People are toxic. And some people are toxic and it doesn't look like it's by their own choice. But toxic is toxic, right? And to immerse yourself in it all the time is not in your highest good. Regardless of who the person is, it's not in your highest good. And you're responsible for that. Your only responsibility here truly is to yourself. Because you came into this world alone and you're going to go out alone. And if you aren't true to yourself and true to your heart, you've kind of missed the point here. And so what I was saying to this student was that, you know, yes, you're responsible for that. Now, don't get me wrong. See, this is where it's never black and white with me. It's always, you know, this and this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you have a group of people you like to be around and they get involved in the drama, I'm not saying don't be around people like that. If you enjoy their company, then be with them. But, and here's the caveat, if you have deeper understandings, right, and you understand what you're putting yourself into, and you understand that if some drama starts and you engage in it, you literally just walked into someone else's reality and you have made it your own. And that is karmically binding. If you understand that, it is your responsibility to make sure that you stay out of it. So fine, hang out with them. And when they're all in a great place, fantastic, have a lot of fun. But when the drama starts, you don't get engaged. Now, can you do that? Can you be comfortable when they come to you and want to engage you and you say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this. I don't do this. Can you stand up and be that? Could you stand up and say to them, what you're doing is ridiculous? And it's hurtful and it's harmful and it has no place. Or is that too challenging for you? And this is what needs to be looked at. It's not easy. Your pattern is to engage. So to stand outside of it and see it for what it is and to take right action from that place, which doesn't engage in the drama. It stays outside of the drama. And it could even take an opportunity to show people where they're falling short. It is not an easy walk because the world will always want to grab at you and say, no, 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 be here in the world. This is what we do. We all complain about each other. This is what we do, you know. It's good. We're venting. It's good. No, it's not good. And I'm not saying repress your emotions. Don't get me wrong, because someone's going to walk away going, oh, she wants us to repress our emotions. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But venting to people about other people is not healthy. It's karmically binding. It's really, really unhealthy. All right. So, just to sum it up, geez, I did have a whole program's worth, didn't I? which is always surprising. But just to sum it up, it's all about your choices. Watch yourself. Watch when reaction takes place. Even if you see it 10 minutes later, you're still seeing it. Don't judge yourself for falling short. Celebrate where you caught it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is so important. Stop judging yourself for where you're falling short and start celebrating where you catch it. Start celebrating the move that you make that is from heart. The move that you make that says, I would have done that before, but today I'm doing this. Edify yourself for doing that. It's important. It is so very important. You don't have to be your own worst victim. Okay? Be your own cheerleader. Because people like me can't always be there to be your cheerleader. You've got to learn to be your own. Okay? Stop beating yourself up for the things that you do where you see you've hurt others and you see you've done even hurt yourself, and move forward from a new place. That's the spiritual warrior. They always move forward. Don't look back. You don't need to anymore. Move forward. Okay? Very good. All right, we're going to go into meditation tonight. Next week, we will be at our new location out of Elemental Healing in Charlotte. And so I'm going to have a group of us again for our program, which will be quite interesting. We can take questions from the audience. And we will see you then. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. Our deepest love to all of you. Thank you. Good night.
You are divine.